Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello, and welcome to episode 581. Today marks the one-year anniversary of when our schools shut down because of COVID. I think back to the beginning of 2020, and I remember reading an article on January 3rd. I'm not sure why I remembered that so specifically, but I read an article on January 3rd about this mysterious pneumonia-like respiratory virus that had cropped up in Wuhan, China. And then the next day, I saw another article. And then the next day, I saw another article. And then the next day, I saw another article. So January 3rd, 2020 represented the first time, the beginning of when I was seeing daily articles about this virus. And back then, it wasn't known to be what it would become over the past year. But so there was something about it that had my radar tuned up, kind of feeling like I was on high alert. And I don't usually feel that way about most things. And so anyway, days went on, we lived our lives, everything seemed pretty normal. But I had in the back of my mind these articles I kept reading every day. And then January 18th came. Well, let me say, January 16th happened. The 17th happened. My daughter's pet rabbit died unexpectedly. Well, I guess that happened on the Thursday, so the 16th. Her pet rabbit died unexpectedly. It was after school. We had to rush it to the vet. She was heartbroken and devastated. She went to school on January 17th, which was a Friday, and it was all she could do not to burst into tears the entire day at school. A friend would see her and ask her what's wrong, and she would just start crying. It was a really, really hard day for her, and she was so sad. She was grieving so much, and so she came home. We talked about it. She was so sad. We realized it probably wasn't a good idea for her to go to school that day. She could have used just a day to kind of not be in public because she was grieving. And then she woke up the next morning, Saturday, January 18th, with a high fever and aches and no energy and sick as a dog. And so I decided to take her to the Minute Clinic at our CVS, and she got a flu test, and it turned out that she had the flu. So I know for a fact that she actually had the flu, and I don't think she had COVID at that point, unless she had both, but I think she just had the flu. Anyway, at this point, I had been reading articles about this mysterious virus for 2 weeks every single day. When we sat in the waiting room, waiting for her to be seen at the CVS, there was a box of masks on the check-in desk. And I looked at those masks, and I thought about those articles, and I thought, I have a feeling those masks are in all of our futures. I wonder if I should take a couple home so that we have a few on hand. And then ultimately, I decided not to take any masks out of that box, except for the one that my daughter put on because we suspected she might have had the flu. So she certainly put one on, and then we took an extra one home for her because the nurse suggested that she should wear a mask, and she put her and all of us on Tamiflu. And the next day, my son ended up coming down with the flu as well. So two of the five of us got the flu, but we were all on Tamiflu from that day forward. And my daughter kept a mask on for the whole time. So she took an extra one home that day at CVS. And really, I was surprised how much the mask was helped, I believe, to keep the rest of us from getting the flu. She had the flu once before, and then all of us had the flu when my youngest was one. The rest of us had the flu, and he was perfectly healthy. That was terrible, because we were all so terribly sick. We all needed someone to wait on us, and there was no one to wait on anybody because we were all too sick to get out of bed, yet we had a healthy one-year-old running around. That was a challenging year. But anyway, the couple times that the flu has visited our house, I never thought to have the person with the flu wear the mask. Very interesting. So anyway, ultimately, sitting in that waiting room, the thought occurred to me, I probably should take a few masks home just in case we end up all needing to wear masks. And I had visions of people in Asia during the SARS epidemic and watching clips of people walking around everywhere in masks. But ultimately, I decided not to because I felt like that wouldn't be the right thing to do. That box of masks was there for people who were coming into the MinuteClinic who were sick. So it wouldn't be right for me to take those masks when I'm not sick, when the people who are coming in there actually need them in that moment. So I didn't take any but the spare one that my daughter used. And I just kind of felt like, well, if we need them in the future, I'll just have to get them then and hope that they're available. That's kind of the feeling and the thoughts that ran through my head on January 18th, 2020. And then time went on day after day, more and more articles are coming. I am very aware that this is getting quickly out of hand. And I remember as we were going through, I bought tickets to the Sixers game for all five of us, actually for all seven of us, also my brother-in-law and my niece, and we, for my husband's birthday. So we went to the Sixers game. I think it was February 23rd or 24th. Yes, it was the 24th of February. So I bought those tickets for my husband's birthday, and when the day was approaching, and I'd been reading daily articles about this virus and what was happening, I kind of wondered if it was wise to go to an indoor arena with tens of thousands of people to watch a professional basketball game. But ultimately, I did, and I told everybody, you know, just make sure you wash your hands constantly. Don't touch the railings. Don't touch handles. Just wash your hands a lot. I'm not totally comfortable with this. So we went. None of us got sick. But I do remember sitting in that arena looking around at all the people. I mean, if it wasn't sold out, it was nearly sold out because I didn't see many empty seats. And I remember looking around wondering if anybody in that arena could possibly have that virus. I remember having that feeling and starting to feel really uncomfortable about the idea of being in public. And So whatever, the game was fun. We had a great time. Turned out to be pretty much the last mass gathering we participated in. So I think I'm ultimately glad that we went. We had a great time. We were all together. It was fun. We hadn't gone to a Sixers game as a family before. So I'm really thankful that I did decide to get those tickets. And we haven't been in an arena since, but I'm sure most other people have not either. Then days go on, March is here, it's moving forward, and I'm getting more and more uncomfortable with the idea of my kids going to school. But I wasn't sure what to do about it, because I can't just, as a parent, just randomly decide I'm going to keep my kids home when they're not sick and they have no valid reason to be home. I didn't want to put them in a position where they would get in trouble. And my older son, he was a senior in high school and his volleyball season was about to begin. It actually started on, I want to say, right around March 2nd, maybe. And so they were all in school full time, 5 days a week. He was staying afterwards for practice. And I was feeling very uncomfortable for those 2 weeks of March, like highly uncomfortable. But I wasn't sure what to do about it. At some point in early March, California just shut down, as you probably recall. And I remember thinking, what in the world? How can an entire state just go on like lockdown? How is this happening? I mean, we'd seen it spread through Asia. We'd seen the devastation happening in Italy. It was already marching its way over to countries like Spain and the UK. And now California was shutting down. What in the world is happening to this world? And so the week of March 9th last year, I was really wrestling with what to do with my kids. I really did not want to send them to school anymore. It was really stressful and I was struggling with what to do. And then the schools decided on February 13th, that Friday, March 13th, they would have an in-service. Because in case they needed to close down for a period of time, they needed to make sure their teachers were trained on how to use Zoom or Google Meet. It started with Zoom, then it moved to Google Meet. And so they said that the kids, the middle schoolers and the high schoolers, would be home for an in-service on that Friday. And so their last day at school was March 12th on a Thursday. And I said to them all before they went to school, I said, clean out your locker, clean out your desk, whatever you have at school, anywhere, in a teacher's room, at the gym, wherever, gather it all up and bring it home. Just in case you don't get to go back to school for the rest of the year. And they kind of looked at me like, what? But they all did what I told them to do. They all gathered up. They didn't have much stuff at school, but they gathered up what they did and they brought it all home on March 12th. So then March 13th was a day off. And then all through that weekend, Saturday and Sunday, all day on Saturday, I was kind of, they hadn't made any decisions at the schools, and I was kind of leaning towards maybe not having them go to school on Monday. Just, you know what, I'm just going to take my chances. I think I'm just going to keep them out, and then we'll just see if they, hopefully I won't get in trouble for making that choice. But I really don't want to send them back. I'm very concerned about how this virus is spreading. So then on Sunday night, March 15th, they made the announcement. Our high school made the announcement they would be closed for 2 weeks. And our middle school, our younger K through 8 district, made the announcement that they would be closed through April 20th. 5 weeks. And I remember reading that email thinking, oh my goodness, they're going to close for 5 weeks? That's half of the time they're home for the summer. What in the world is happening? This is crazy. I've never heard of a school closing for 5 weeks. What in the world? And I have to say that our K through 8 teachers were absolutely phenomenal. They shifted on a dime. By Monday the 16th, all classes were being held live online, just immediately. One day of an in-service, Friday, Monday morning, all kids are to report through their school-issued Chromebooks. Our school had been working on a one-to-one initiative, one-to-world initiative, to provide school-issued Chromebooks to all the students. And so they did that. And so fortunately, all the kids already had the technology. And then it was a matter of the school working with those lower income families who may not have internet access at home. So they worked to make sure that all kids could have internet access so that they could maintain their education. And so it turned out, obviously, that, well, I don't know if it's obvious to you based on where you live, but it turned out that my kids did not return to school. And my seniors' high school volleyball season was canceled, which was absolutely devastating for him. They were favored to go far in the state. They'd been getting better every year since my son came in as a freshman. The team had only been around for, I think, 2 years before my son became a freshman. So they were a young team, and they were getting really good really fast. And so all the boys were looking forward to their season, and they were expecting to dominate. Their coach was having trouble scheduling the out-of-league matches because no one really wanted to play them because they expected to lose. It was looking like it would be a phenomenal season for them, and it just got wiped off the map. That was probably the hardest thing for any of my kids to deal with. But obviously, there were many, many worse things that people had to deal with. And some schools, even a year later, have not resumed in-person schooling in any way, shape, or form. And some families have decided for various reasons not to send their kids back, even if their schools were open. And something interesting that I have noticed with the families that I work with, the kids that I work with, the parents that I'm talking to on a regular basis, there's something that happened after the start of the new year, 2021. It seemed like last spring, there was a high level of energy, like a frenzied energy that I felt in the world, in the U.S., with the people in my work, my town, my kids, their friends. The frenzied energy was kind of like, you know, this new weird virus is here and it's shutting down the world as it marches around the globe and everything's on shutdown and we have to quick shift everything and we have to figure it out day by day and there's so much uncertainty and we don't know. And so it to me was the energy of a sprint those last few months of last school year. But then as it got to be May and June and schools still weren't opening, then the summer hit. We all got a bit of a reprieve. I know that my family was outside constantly enjoying the freedom of being able to go out and do stuff, even if it was mostly outside. Then the fall hit and my kids have mostly been on some modified hybrid schedule, but everybody's wearing masks. There's no more than 10 kids in a school, a classroom. The school was originally broken in quarters and then it was in half. Weird, right? But seemed like once everyone adjusted, I'm talking global, collectively, you know, not individual people, but just from my experience and what I was observing, once kids and families adjusted to this new hybrid, remote, whatever, there were definitely stressors caused by this pandemic. But everybody, many people seemed to get into some kind of a groove, the students and the families. And then the new year turned. And over the past 2 months, it seems like things are getting harder instead of easier. I don't know if collectively we kind of expected new year, new, turning a fresh page. We'll put the virus behind us, the pandemic behind us. I don't know, but it's a very intriguing thing that I'm noticing. Kids are struggling much more suddenly in school than they even were in the fall. Parents are more stressed than they even were in the fall. There's something happening since the start of the year, and maybe it's weather related, because at least in the northern two-thirds of the United States, or, you know, a big majority of the United States, it's winter time. It's been winter time. Cold temperatures, you're stuck back inside, you can't be out as much. The pandemic numbers were skyrocketing through Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. And so we haven't been able to get out and have a picnic outside or ride bikes or just do the normal stuff that you would do in the warmer months. So I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's kind of subconsciously we're hitting that 1 year mark and we're hitting that pandemic wall. I remember reading articles about the hitting the wall at the 6 month mark, which was right around the beginning of school. And then everybody settled in. Now we're hitting the 1 year mark wall. And it's hard. Parents are struggling. Kids are struggling. The families that I work with personally, I mean, this is from personal experience. My friends who are parents, my clients who are parents, they're struggling. Their kids are having a hard time. They're struggling with motivation. They're falling behind in their subjects. It's hard for them to stay engaged. They're just not interested. It's really hard. And then that doesn't even begin to touch on the economic impact of this pandemic on families. It doesn't touch on the losses due to the pandemic, the losses of loved ones that many families have experienced, and an unthinkable number of families have experienced such loss and tragedy. But I want to turn ourselves to the light. I want to turn our thoughts and turn our attention to the light. I personally have felt when the new year shifted, I personally felt that we were moving closer to the light. I could see the light at the end of the tunnel. I felt like things were going to be improving from here on out. And here at the beginning of March, or the middle of March, I think we are definitely moving in that direction. More vaccines are becoming available. Vaccine appointments are becoming slightly easier to get. And as time goes on, they're going to become even easier, I believe. We're marching our way toward herd immunity. Schools are starting to open more. I know that our high school went from splitting the school into four, and each group goes once a week for a morning, a half day. Now they determined that they can feel safe. They say they can safely split the school in half, and half the school comes Monday, Tuesday. The other half comes Tuesday, Thursday. Everybody stays home Wednesday. And then our K-8 schools, we're having half the school come Monday, Tuesday, half the school come Thursday, Friday, no one on Wednesday. And in a week or so, they're going to shift to bringing everyone back 4 half days a week. So we're moving closer to getting to life as we used to know it. But I really hesitate to say getting back to normal, because this has been a really hard year. But in my experience, the hard times are when you grow the most. They're the most painful, they're the hardest to get through, and they're the times when you grow the most. And so I hope that we don't go, quote unquote, back to the way it was, back to normal. I hope that we move forward to a better place than we ever were as a collective and as individuals. I hope that each of you listening to this have taken the lessons that were available in this last year through this unbelievable pandemic and taken that opportunity to make changes in your life, to make your life even better. Even with all the hardship, even with all the struggle, the challenge, the stress, the worry, the fear, even with all of it, I hope that you've been able to pull the lessons and the gifts out of this past year and use them to create an even better life for yourself. And I hope that you are able to help your children do the same. Because one thing that I remember from when my daughter Sydney died, I remember saying literally the day she died, I am going to learn lessons out of this. I'm going to make something good come out of her death. Because if I don't, that means she died for nothing. That means her death was a waste. And with the amount of pain and grieving I am experiencing, there is no way I am going to waste all of this. Something good is going to come out of it. I felt that in my bones the day she died, back on April 1st, 2001. And now, 20 years later, I know that I would never be who I am without her presence in my life. That unspeakable tragedy, unthinkable tragedy in my life, made my life so much richer, so much better. I know how strong I am. I know how resilient I am. I have a deep appreciation for the capacity that I have for gratitude. The capacity that I have in the hardest of times to still be able to look out the window and see a beautiful sunrise, and my heart is filled up with gratitude for that beauty that's in our world. And so I hope that you've made something good come out of this year. It's been a hard year for everyone. It's been a challenging year, a year filled with loss and uncertainty and hardship. But truly, I believe you can bring value out of it by creating your best life possible and learning the lessons that have been available to you. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about on this 1 year anniversary of when our schools officially shut down 365 days ago. And now I feel that we're moving ever closer to the light. So wherever you are in this world, I hope that you have a very hopeful day for yourself. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to Erin@erin-taylor.com. if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.